Mary.
Yes, ma'am.
Then you go on to, right, hello, claim it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So when you win, then you go on to the election in November.
That's right.
And that, well, that begins another, what is that, another 3 months. So you got another, like, 90 days or so. What up, Facebook Live?
Children.
So now tell me, last time you were here, you just started the race.
I was actually deep in it. The last time that I was here, I was almost a year into it. But I had been just slowly building.
Slow burn, yeah.
Now it's sort of there's a little bit of wind at the back, and a lot more people have heard about me. I've been through so much more of the state. I spent a lot of time up there in Pensacola and, through the Panhandle, through Jacksonville, all over. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
And so now I've got followers kind of everywhere.
That's awesome. So now what what were your favorite parts of the state? And what parts of the state were you like, oh my God, I had no idea?
I'll tell you, people will be surprised. I will tell you this. We in South Florida like to think, oh, North Florida, it's a bunch of bumpkins, and, you know, then there's no Democrats up there, it's not worth our energy, so on and so forth.
Right.
And what I tell people is that the Democrats in the northern part of the state, and there are quite a few of them, feel isolated a lot. They're the ones who don't feel like they can talk to their neighbors, right? So when they get together, they're so enthusiastic. They're so energized. They're very well organized. And so that makes it easier to get to them. For someone like me who has to get to them in person, you can galvanize a group of 50, 100 people. You know, that's fairly easy. Also because there's not that much competing for their attention. Down here, getting the Democrats on the north side of Miami to talk to the Democrats on the south side of Miami is a real challenge.
Yeah.
Is a real challenge. So densely populated areas require more media to get to.
Right.
Sparsely populated areas are actually easier to get to in person.
So you can go in and kiss babies and shake hands and have breakfast and do the whole thing.
And another thing I will tell you is that the makeup of the Democratic Party is different. In the northern part of the state, especially places like Pensacola, Jacksonville, we have rural black communities that are Democratic.
Mm.
We have, so even though African Americans only make up 30% of the vote of the Democratic primary vote to begin with, they make up a bigger percentage of the Democrats in the northern part of the state.
Well, that's interesting because Chris and I were talking earlier today, and he was saying how he couldn't understand, we can't understand how the national presidential race is still so close in Florida.
It's even closer than the polls are suggesting from what I'm seeing. Right?
Yeah.
And the reason is because we keep thinking that it is a race about issues or it's a race about ideas, and it's not that. Mm-hmm. What I'm seeing is that this is a race of existential import for people who want to see America remain in the control of white men.
Right.
And so it does
a fight for white supremacy.
That's, to put it bluntly, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
It may not be necessarily what's intended, although that's debatable, but it is the way that is what I have seen. And so it does, and I think it's interesting on both sides, because I think on the side of Republicans, nothing we're going to say is going to move them off of Donald Trump. So it just does not matter what kind of bad story comes out on him.
Right.
At all. It just doesn't matter. And to me, to be fair, the same is true about Hillary Clinton. I don't care about the emails. The underlying sort of ethical issue is an issue. The underlying optics is an issue.
Right.
I'm able to understand that from an intellectual perspective, or hey, a navel gazing, we shouldn't be doing this, or we shouldn't be doing that. I wish she had done this. She should have answered it this way. But, but at the end of the day, Trump is on the other side.
Yeah.
Well, I the conversation we were having, Joe, this is very relevant to Ms. Keefe's campaign and the Democratic primary for the Senate. It's, you know, what we've seen in this state is an increase of Republican voter registrations.
Absolutely.
And that is probably scientifically the reason why this this race for the presidency between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump is so close. For some reason, Republicans in our state are energized, generally speaking, and we're not doing that, it seems like, overall in the Democratic Party. And I think a part of that is the part of the reason for that, and it's always this case, mm-hmm. is because we're not having in our state an invigorating discussion about other races for state government. So
right.
if we had a vigorous right. discussion and debate regarding the three with the candidates running for U.S. Senate, you might find that the Democrats in this state might be much more excited about things in mm-hmm. in Florida, even in the presidential election in the Democratic side in March. You had Clinton with such a high lead here that you really didn't have a discourse here in Florida that mm-hmm. doesn't really provide the energy that leads into a general election in the fall. Whereas in the Republican side of things, you had a very interesting primary.
Exactly.
Of a lot of candidates, a lot of discussion, a lot of crisscross in the state, and therefore you have, you know, the energy and voter registrations are up. And I'm wondering, here in Dade County, the absentee ballots that have already been collected are at 120,000, over 50,000 people early voted. So that means in Dade County, 170,000 people have already voted. In 2012, 250,000 people voted. That means the overwhelming majority of voters that, you know, from 2012 have already voted. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
What's
right. It's extraordinary.
There.
Yeah. I think Chris makes a really, really valid point, and I will say that it's very difficult to handicap it, all the different moving parts, because on the one hand they're registering more people, but the Republicans are really struggling with ground game in terms of offices and actually deploying people in terms of, you know, operation. You know, mm-hmm. the Trump operation is not an operation. They're relying on the traditional RNC structure, but even that is not at the level that it ought to be, because the RNC typically relies on their presidential operations to funnel money into their ground game. And that's just not happening. So on the one hand, there's an enthusiasm. On the other hand, and there's new registration. But the blocking and tackling of the GOTV operation is just not there. So I don't know how that's all going to pan out. But what I do know is that those who feel like Donald Trump is the last chance for them to hold on to this country,
right?
Believe that as existentially,
and they don't care,
and they could care less what, about how inept and unqualified and lacking in temperament the man is,
right?
And I did so. That's, you know, that's kind of the
because
way
they take. I talked about that, you know, at the top when I did the quote that, you know, ideas are subject to interpretation. So, you know, when I look at his idea of, you know, immigration, changing the immigration, I think that it is abhorrent.
Right.
You know, but when they look at it, they think if they left, if some people, I won't say everybody, but if some people look at that and say, well, if they left, I'd have a job. See,
right.
I don't see that at all. It's correlation whatsoever.
I don't even think it's that. I will be honest with you. I'll give you an anecdote, because this mm-hmm. happened here in South Florida. I was in Davie, and I was at National Night Out, which is this great event usually put on by the local police and sheriff's departments to raise awareness of safety in the community and so forth. And I'm sitting literally the distance between me and you in front of this older white gentleman, and my attitude and my ethos is always be open, begin conversation.
Right.
Even though I don't assume anything about this person, just engage in conversation. And this gentleman and I had this conversation. He tells me right off the bat that his two main issues are gun control and immigration, which kind of telegraphs a little
right,
bit to me.
Little, right.
But I still want to build a bridge with him. And so what I do when I encounter someone like that, rather than start talking about racism or talking about bigotry or anything that we're not going to agree about, first of all, I just am affable and try to just make them comfortable. And then I start asking them questions like, okay, well, you know, tell me about what's really on your mind. And if, once I get them talking, right. I kind of get a sense of where they are. And so he says to me, a woman of color, about these immigrants coming and making babies, and that they're babies, and there's and they make so many more babies than normal people, quote unquote,
anchor
do.
Babies, they call them, right.
And that is, you know, and we got to stop that from happening. And right. I asked him, just very seriously, do you realize that those babies are American citizens?
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me with such coldness, like, oh, it was a, he just like, I killed me,
right?
Because in his, and if he were a cartoon, there'd been a bubble over his head that would have said, no, they're not.
Right. Yeah.
No, they're
it
not.
It's that idea. And that's why I think that Trump's campaign has just ripped the fabric of whatever we were sewing together. It just ripped all of that, because his campaign has been his whole political structure has been us against them.
Right.
And they are not like us. They are not patriotic. They, and just insert whoever the they is.
Right. And so this immigration question, which has a legitimate question about border security, it has a legitimate question about H-1B visas and so forth, has become transmogrified into the Browning of America.
One well, the Browning, right, the Browning of America is real.
I love the SAT words being dropped up here. but I do want to interject that this is definitely not a uniquely American problem.
I had a chance to travel to
Europe back in March, and there was a whole conference around this notion that these people who are third, fourth, fifth generation in these countries because they're darker skinned or because they have a different religious belief, are being viewed as migrants or immigrants, and that's just kind of a thing. So, you know, a traditional Swede can't contemplate the fact that, you know, Eritrean and Ethiopian people have been there since, you know, the early 20th century. And so when they see these folks, it's just automatically they're not of this space and they're not of this place. So it's something that is definitely transcending a number of different places. But I just wanted to see if we can redirect, because I've noticed all the black girl magic in the room. Right? black girl magic, yes. So I had the distinct honor of following in the footsteps of a great black female politician who kind of led the and created a pathway for me. My success is solely reliant on the legacy that she created, but I also understood that she brought a unique approach to the table that I find kind of distinct in a number of elected black women, whether they be you know, members of Congress, etc. Considering that there are no black women in the U.S. Senate currently,
correct?
Right? You know, and you're walking into a situation where the only black males present, you have one Democrat and one Republican.
True.
and you'd be setting foot in there. So what exactly, what's the uniqueness of that black girl magic that you would bring to that place that that does not contain any black women now? You know, how does that temperament...
right, and not at all.
How does that temperament and sort of what you've experienced, what you've seen, how's that going to transform the U.S. Senate?
I think every candidate brings just this sort of hodgepodge of different experiences to the table. And so obviously I'm an advocate. And so that's the method by which I communicate. Can I articulate my ideas well? How do I think through problems? But as I was trying to make to the point to WFTV in Orlando to try to block me out of the debates, is to say, hey, this isn't racist against me. It's racist against the people who would be interested in me speaking for them. This is racist against the people who would want a female voice representing their experience being brought to the table.
Right.
So, you know, when we talk about criminal justice reform, somebody needs to chime in about how African-American women, women of color, women in incarceration, women who have children and aren't able to see them, that's a part of the discussion that's often ignored. When people are talking about veterans care, the how women are being dealt with in the VA is an incredibly ignored subject.
Completely
how
ignored.
Women
yeah.
respond to PTSD is a completely ignored subject. It's not that I'm there to be the only female voice, nor the, and if I am the only female voice of color, and I hope that's not the case, but if it is, yes, there's a special burden that comes with that. But, you know, the reason we want diversity is not because it looks good, right? The reason we want diversity is because living the life that you live causes you to interpret information differently. And this is the, so I want people to give yeah. me credit for that, right? That because I live in this skin and go walk this path, I see, I process information through the lens of a person who's lived through that. And I give my conservative brothers and sisters the same credit that just be, we disagree, not because they're stupid,
right.
not because they're ignorant, but because they've lived a completely different path than me.
Well, you know, I like to relate it to, Instagram and the fact that, you know how all the filters are different.
Absolutely.
And it's the same way we all filter things differently based on our experiences. So that's why you have to have a diversity of people and thought at a table in order to get a real, honest consensus.
Absolutely. I'm here to tell you that had Donald Trump had an African-American woman with any kind of sense on his team,
yeah.
he would have never tweeted that thing he said about Dwayne Wade's cousin.
Yeah, Omarosa, we, you know.
I don't think she was involved in that, but.
Listen, we disavowed Omarosa a long time ago.
I'm not disavowing anybody.
I want to bring, we got a call, and I want to bring our other black girl magic in the room. Hi, Bill on line one. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
The name is not Bill, the name is Dollar Bill. And the reason why I want that dollar bill to be known, because I'm well known in the street.
Dollar bill, y'all. I'm gonna get you a little jingle dollar bill.
Here's what black people need to do. We need to start trying to create our own party. Because, see, both parties take us for granted, whether y'all know it or not.
No, it's true. We do know that.
Okay, now here's what we need to do. See, if you're going to stay with both parties, we need to have many, just a minute, our black people in the Republican Party, we do the Democratic Party. All balance, because if you don't do that, one side can always take the other side for granted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But what black people really need to do is we need to focus and get our own house in order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before we start coming on the national stage trying to tell people this and tell people that. We got a lot of problems that we can get straight ourselves. Okay, and mm-hmm. you got a lot of slave things that's going on right now today that's still in existence that shouldn't be in existence.
That's true. It is true.
Perfect example. Listen closely. God made the black people. Nobody else made them. The slave master tell the slaves that so that he can sleep with them for free. Okay? Now, when we stop that dumb stuff, trying to pick this, somebody comes to our race.
Dollar Bill, you are... We're all, like, right there with you, like, okay. And then
it like a Drake song to me.
Also know me as James, okay? Now, God gave black people a special antenna to their brain. I want to give a special shout-out to Gabby Douglas and the other, Althea Johnson from the women's polo. Man, she represented the black
yeah.
people so good. Real black people have stand on the international stage, okay? Now we put the God back in us. See, you got to understand, God did something to the black people in the slave master got the interference. Who you going to obey? I am a jealous God. I put no other God before me. When you be ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you.
True.
That is very true, Dr. Bill.
Now, I'm going to say that then I'm going to hang up. I'm going to hang up in my face. All black people, according to God, got nappy hair. When we stop being ashamed of nappy, well, no black people.
True.
Stop being ashamed of nappy.
Okay.
Here's what's going to win for black people. See, God's going to do it. See, you can't do nothing. I keep telling you. God will do it, put you back in charge. No, I said,
Money, do it.
Money,
do it.
Yes, he will.
Money, do it.
Okay.
Yes, it's true.
Wake him up.
I'm too happy to be not this right,
yes. Okay. Dollar Bill, I love you.
Yeah, real dollar bill.
Yeah, the real dollar bill. Thank you. Thank you so much.
people. I love black people, but I love Indian people, but I'm in love with black people.
Okay. And we're in love with you, Dollar Bill.
Every week.
And I'm here to tell you that my next guest, Fela Delicia, is very happy to be nappy.
Ah, yes, Lord.
Welcome.
Curly nappy.
Welcome, Felicia. She is Fela. Running for a state rep. Delicia.
Yeah.
It's Delicia.
You said Felicia. Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. Girl, it's what time
it's
is
late.
It?
It's late.
Right, I mixed it all together. Fela and Delicia. You're running in a highly contested race.
Yes, there are seven Democrats. We start off with 9. We're down to 7. So we're just waiting until Tuesday to find out who will that next state rep for House District 108 will be. And hopefully it'll be me.
So now this is your first race.
This is my first race, but I've been in politics all my life. Mm-hmm. I'm the niece of Father Jean-Giste, who is a human rights activist, a Catholic priest, known in Miami fighting for Haitian immigrants since 1970 up until his death in 2009, and also known internationally. And I've volunteered on various campaigns from President Obama 2008, 2012, Hillary 2015 through 16, 2 state races 2015 to 2016, and a local councilwoman re-election 2015.
Awesome.
Within the district.
So you're excited. You've run. Listen, you're the little engine that could, Fela.
I would be
Delicia.
That
tallest. Yeah, because you really have, you really made your presence known, which could not be easy.
No.
You know, alone in a race with that many people and being the first time up at bat. So how did you create your, you know, support system, you know, to run? Is it like, you know, friends and families? Are you calling in favors? You know,
it's everything. It's one of those things, because I've been a community activist all my life. I've dedicated mm-hmm. myself to public service since the age of 5. So people who are around me, my colleagues, friends, my associates, we're all kind of like-minded in some aspect, giving back to the community. So it's a mixture of things, from family to friends to people that I never met. And I want to give a shout out to one of my donors who I met a couple months ago, and she is like my super supporter and everything, and that's Miss Patricia Rogers. She just retired. She was in law enforcement for 29 years, and now she started her own business, and she's helping me in the campaign, and this is her first time being politically active.
I love that. See, black girl magic all over the place, yeah, Dollar Bill. We're going to take a break right here. We'll be right back on Hot Talk, 888-550-9105. Give us a call and let us know what's on your mind and what's important to you when you go to the polls on Tuesday.
Hot Talk will be right back on Hot 105. Hot 105, today's R&B and Old School, presents the second annual Hot 105 R&B Groove. Featuring Frankie Beverly and Ace.
I'll let you go. I'll just wanna thank you.
Plus Shaheen, El DeBarge, and Tank on Saturday, October 15th at the Bank United Center on the campus of the beautiful University of Miami. Tickets on sale now and selling fast at the Bank United Center box office or on Hot105FM.com. And you know Hot105 has got the most free tickets. Lock it on 105.1 all day to win them, and all winners qualify to win 4 front row tickets with backstage passes to meet the artists and take pictures, $500 to go shopping, and the best part of all, we're taking you up on stage to get serenaded by one of the performing artists.
Wait, what?
Now, that's the grand prize. For more chances to win, download our free Hot 105 app by texting 28367 with the keyword Hot 105 app. The second annual Hot 105 R&B Groove is brought to you by G-Squared Events and your station for today's R&B and Old School. Hot 105.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
It's a source of power the world can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I was on the way from Kandahar to Klot, hit an IED that just took the truck and threw it up in the air and slammed it on the ground. I knew at first that I got hurt pretty bad because I couldn't move my legs. I sat home alone for months. I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. I was hesitant at first, you know, because I didn't work for a good year. I want to be a productive person. I don't want to be a drain on society. I want to be a positive thing in society. PBA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Helping veterans like Eric is what we've done for over 65 years. Paralyzed Veterans of America, paving access for veterans' employment through Operation PAVE. For more information, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
About 2 or 3 months ago, I started having money problems. Ever since then, I've had a pretty hard time keeping up with the bills. The worst part is I can't make the house payments. So when the phone started to ring and I knew it was the mortgage people calling, I didn't pick it up. I just couldn't. And the notices were coming in the mail too. Lots of them. Now I may lose my house and I don't know what to do.
If you're facing foreclosure, doing nothing only puts you deeper in the hole. Now's the time to dig yourself out. Call 1-888-995-HOPE today. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the ad council, and this station.
Right now, in conflict zones, refugee camps, and remote villages around the world, Doctors Without Borders is delivering emergency medical care. With your support, our medical teams respond quickly when conflicts, deadly outbreaks, or natural disasters strike. Doctors Without Borders is funded by individual donors around the world, so our independence and impartiality allow us access to patients in need, in places others often won't go. Doctors Without Borders is dedicated to delivering high-quality medical care in the worst circumstances. Doctors Without Borders is saving a life somewhere right now. Please support us today by visiting doctorswithoutborders.org. You make our work possible.
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the ad council, and this station.
Tom Joyner in the morning. The Tom Joyner Morning Show. And everybody knows the song. 105.1.
This is the Flyjack Tom Joyner.
Oh, it's going to be the bomb diggity.
Monday,
Melody Hopson and Hezekiah Walker.
Tuesday,
Seriously Ignorant News with Damon Williams.
Get Well Wednesday.
Sherry Shepherd Thursday with Russ Parr.
And on Fun Friday,
a live Sky Show. From the Allstate Tom Joyner Family Reunion with Kim Whitley, Andrew Day, Robert Townsend, Joe, and Huggy announces the Bama of the Week. All that and more next week on the TJMS.
And we're back Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with the best music information and what's happening in our community.
To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
Yes, indeed. 888-550-9105. Give us a call.
Here we are in the midnight hour of Hot Talk. The primary elections are on Tuesday, and we hope you all have planned already who you're going to vote for. If not, we hope to be of some assistance to you in this last section of the show. First, I want to take a call, Josie from Pembroke Pines. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. And good evening to your panel. I am so disgusted with Canova. Where did he come from? I like this. Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Really?
I've seen this, yes, because I've seen this woman in the media running all over the country doing different things. She's with Obama. She's with Trayvon Martin's mother and father. I've seen her with Frederica Wilson, all over the place. The woman is probably fatigued for running all year.
What you say? She ain't got time coming out.
She probably she's tired. Yeah. I've seen this woman. Where did Jim Canova come from?
Tim.
I have not heard of this man.
Well,
until about what?
Well, yeah.
Well, I voted already.
You voted for her. I said, no. That's what we talked about. You know, and I asked him, I was like, where did you come from? Who is Tim Canova? But he was a Nova University professor.
Did you see the debate between him and Mrs. Schultz?
No, I didn't. Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
And
I'm sick of him sounding like a broken record, talking about where the woman gets her money from. And the emails with Hillary. I voted for Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and I voted for Hillary.
All right.
And I voted for Murphy. And you know what? People need to get out there and vote.
Yes.
Because if you don't vote, Trump is going to be your president.
Your voice is your vote. That's what I tell the people. Yeah, say it again. Your mic was off.
Grandma used to say you're going to end up in a soup line.
Thank you for that, Josie.
Okay.
Have a good night. Thanks for listening, doll.
That's why I tell people your voice is your vote, and your vote is your voice, and your voice is your vote. If you don't vote, you have no reason to complain.
So what do you tell people, though? I'll start with you, Fayola.
Yes.
And Pam, those of you who are just joining us, we're talking to Pam Keith, who's running for Senate, and we're talking to Fayola DeLicia, who is running for the House Representative, District 108. We're also talking to Senator Dwight Bullard and Chris Norwood of the Norwood Group. Is that Brother Al?
Straight from the barbershop.
Straight from the barbershop. Listen, won't he do it?
So fresh and so clean.
Wait, I'm sorry, y'all. Did you call him?
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Al, did you see... Brother Al, everybody in this room can testify that I just said 5 minutes ago, where is Brother Al? I'm concerned and said he might not be well because I have not heard from him. Didn't I just say that?
Yeah, just did.
Not 5 minutes ago, and here you are. God is in the details. You heard me. He heard my call and sent it to you. Yeah. How are you, Brother Al?
With the help of Allah, Sister Jill, I'm doing fine. I want to just say hello to all of you, you and all your guests. And, you know, that's the power of a woman.
Amen.
Amen.
We all saw that in action just now.
Absolutely.
It's just like the sister that's on the program, the one who is alive and awake and well. That's what I'm calling to tell her to stay vigilant, watchful, and dutiful. Because you are an enlightened person, and they want us to remain dark. May Allah continue to bless you and stay strong. One of the real problem that we're having now is that we have a supreme being, and these people are trying to overpower and remove the supreme being and his laws and everything that we are supposed to be living with. And that's what they're removing. And once they do that, once they remove the laws and ways of the supreme being, they elect 9 people and put them on the Supreme Court and make laws that we are supposed to obey and abide by and all of the laws that unjust, unright, unrighteous. And that's why we're having the problem that we're having. When somebody get in there and want to put the laws of God back on in our minds and our hearts and let us live it and live the life of peace and justice and righteousness like we should, you're going to have problems. So, sister, y'all remain strong, be brave, be bold, and continue the good work, because our light is going to overcome that darkness.
Amen.
All right, now. I believe.
That's what you are doing, and just going and accept your place. You are one that's in the light, like I say, and you're going to have to shine that light, and others going to join you, just like brother, what is it called, the real dollar bill?
Yeah.
Hey. We all are becoming enlightened. We're coming out the dark.
True. Yeah.
And accept the brothers and sisters
of God
who they are and congratulate them.
Yeah.
You might not see them in your place where you pay your dues at or where your name, when the roll call is called, but hey, like the messenger said, his best followers are still in the street.
Amen.
And you don't know them. So, you know, we got to congratulate one another, help one another. When somebody is making some progress, praise them and help them.
Okay.
What's
up? I'm going to just sit here and listen. I love to listen. There's nothing like good news.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother L.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
That's God.
And from a brother to tell us that. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and I just, And see, that's one of those things. So what was your moment? You know, those of us who are walking in some level of what we feel is our destiny, mm-hmm. right? At some point at 3:00 in the morning, something told you, Dwight Bullitt, that this is what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you, just like Keith said, and you followed that, Pam Keith,
yes.
Chris Norwood, mm-hmm. Jessica, me, Fayola, and you were probably one of the youngest in the room. So what, and you started really young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it that makes you, and I'm going to ask all three of you, makes you want to devote your life to public service?
Well, to have an uncle who's considered a Dr. Martin Luther King for the Haitian community, you have no choice. And my family, when I was growing up, always told me, no matter what I do in life, give back. And so from the time that I was a kid, I did Girl Scouts. I was very active in extracurricular activities. I was always in some leadership role or capacity giving to my community, whether as in my profession as a nurse, as an educator, as a business owner, as a community activist. And really with this seat, what happened was being born in Miami, especially Little Haiti is part of this district, and 54th Street is named after my uncle, and seeing all the things that I've seen, and after coming back after 2012, moving back to South Florida because I lost everything through the economic crash, it gives you an eye-opening experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a Christian, I asked God, what did I do? And he said, there's more that I'm requiring of you. And I didn't understand what that meant mm-hmm. until I came back to the community that I was raised in and grew up in, and understanding human rights and activism for the young generation.
Right.
And so it's giving back and being that voice. And the true way you can make an imprint, I believe, in my capacity is a state legislator. And I say that because I spoke at a Democratic convention in 2008
mm-hmm.
on behalf of nurses, our healthcare providers, but nurses, of course, at the H.R. 676 caucus bill, which my mouth gets me in trouble as a kid, but it worked out in this situation because I was sharing my experience with Representative John Conyers from Detroit, Michigan, and he said, the platform is all yours. And ever since then, I've been bit by the public policy bug, because that's where I can really make that impact and mm-hmm. change that will outlast my lifetime. It's legislation.
I love that. Pam?
Well, you know, I will simply say that to whom much is given, as much is expected. And first thing you got to do is know yourself. What is your gift? Mm-hmm. I was hardwired as an advocate and a warrior. That's who I am. And the question then becomes, what do I do? And I'm going to tell these people the story, which is real. I was sitting there watching my TV when Barack Obama was given the 2013 State of the Union, and Marco Rubio gave the answer to that, if y'all remember. It was a terrible speech. I mean, he was drinking water in the middle of the speech, and he was cotton mouth and sweaty. And I was thinking to myself, why is he our senator? What is it about him that makes him qualified to do this? And I realized in this moment that I was having an epiphany that I wanted to do this job. I thought I could do it well. And when you start out, you say, I have this platform, and I have these ideas, and I want to get those ideas out. But as you get into the campaigning process, you meet people. Mm-hmm. People who are desperate for a voice, people who are suffering, people who are going through, who have various issues that are top of the list for them. And then you begin to realize, okay, my mission is not just about me getting what I want to do, what I want to do. There is something else going on. There's an interchange between me and the people I seek to represent. Because right. I'm auditioning, essentially. The campaign right. is a job interview. And you're not going to get the job if you don't show up. So I knew that showing up everywhere I could was going to be a big part of how I was going to be successful. But at the end of the day, this community mm-hmm. has been voting and voting and voting and voting, and we don't ask for anything.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that has to change.
Yeah.
Well, and so that's really the drive that I have within me, is that I keep seeing neighborhoods that don't look any different now than they did 50 years ago.
Correct.
Right. Or even worse. I keep seeing our children killing each other in neighborhoods. I want to do something. That's my motivation.
Right.
Joe.
Yes, let me grab LV right quick.
Hold on. LV
in Miami. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Hey, hello, Jill Trace, to you and your Pamela.
Thank you. Hello.
Yes, I'm just going to piggyback right what she just mentioned. Today, an 8-year-old girl lost her life.
In the head by a drive-by shooting.
Right, and then not used to stay in that area.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a father, from my understanding, owned a business.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So
random bullets aren't picky. Random bullets are not picky.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why kudos to you, because, you know, we scream when the police do it, but when it happens to our own black
people, we don't do anything.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. You guys remember that King Carter shooting in Miami Gardens, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So in that shooting, we had an 11-year-old or 12-year-old child who had a gun. Mm-hmm. He and his boy came into the apartment complex because they were having a beef with some other kid that lived in the complex. So we have a 4-year-old dead. We have two preteens who are now in jail, and no accountability whatsoever for where the gun came from.
Correct.
I am trying to figure out how young kids who cannot afford new Nikes can afford Glocks.
Yeah.
And it feels systematic to me. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, Jill. You know this. I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
But it feels systematic to me. And I want to know where these guns are coming from and how to put a bounty on the heads of the people who supply those guns.
Correct. Stricter gun laws.
Two quick points. Miss Keith began her last discussion about why is Marco Rubio our senator? And I just want to make just a historical point. He is our U.S. senator because there was a black man running for the Democratic primary who was cut short by another gentleman by the name of Charlie Crist, who left the Republican Party because he was getting beat by Marco Rubio, and then became an independent, and therefore one of the few African Americans who have ever won a statewide Democratic primary was not allowed a straight shot to challenge Marco Rubio. So that's why Marco Rubio is our senator. And you know, although your listeners don't want to hear this, Marco is a friend, but. The other issue.
No, we don't want to hear that.
the other thing, you know, we hear and we see these incredible acts of violence that are occurring to these kids, and we see the effect that they have on the families, and even with the shooting that happened at a wake the other day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so often, I mean, I see these things, and I know many people who are very concerned and who want to do something, and there, you know, no one really has an answer. You know, and I think we need to we really truly need to understand that in order to solve that problem, that we really need to within ourselves do some soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
Because the answers are not going to be the things that you really want to do.
Yeah.
They're not going to be those things. Because if they were, it would be accomplished.
Well, but like I think
I think that, you know, the kids who are pulling these triggers, these kids can't read, most of them. When you look at the profile of these killers, The solutions to these problems are very long term.
Sure, exactly.
They're not going to happen to stop the violence that we're seeing in our community unless we just have a police force that militantly takes over our community, which some people may actually be calling for, to be quite honest.
Well,
but in order to really deal with this, there are long term solutions that we
absolutely
have to commit to. These are not soundbite solutions.
Right.
These are not political solutions. The first area of defense is the person who pulled that trigger. His parents failed him. The people who brought him into this world had failed him. His community, his neighborhood, his block failed him.
Correct. Absolutely.
His community failed him. And then we get to, you know, some of the outer things. But that takes a conversation that we, I believe, are not really having. Because these sort of killings, it's not about, you know, there are killers walking around these streets.
Absolutely.
You know, the person, when you pull that trigger, you know how many times, what's behind that pulling of that trigger, the psychological damage that this person has had to themselves and to other people, you know, prior to that. There are so many different levels to when that child
right.
or that person actually
right.
pulls that trigger. We don't want to deal with that. And until we deal with that, then, right. you know,
I think it's the philosophy we lost. We lost the philosophy. It takes a village to raise a child. Even though I wasn't born in the 1950s, I love history. And we are in a modernized civil rights movement issue. Because when you look at the kids as an educator, as someone who owns, who works with children, I've been a youth advocate invited to the White House to attend the National Crime Watch and Youth Prevention Conference. I wasn't able to go this year because of campaigning. You have to ask the kids, I'll give a story and then I'll say something. I was in a third grade class working with students, and this little African American boy was ready to beat up this other African American girl because of something she said.
Right.
And I had to literally run across the classroom to grab him before he did whatever he was about to do because the rage was in his eyes. And I took him outside, and this was my first time working with him, and I said, do you not know better? He said, no. Do you not believe you can do better? He said, no. So we have to look at, yes, it's the parents, but it's the community. Where are the churches? They can only do so much because of funding. There's different programs that they have, but we need more state funding. And when state funding gives funding to those type of programs, we need to find out how effective and efficient they are.
But Dwight,
well, here's the thing. We could have talk show after talk show about how complex the problems are and how complex the solutions are. But at the end of the day, all you got to do is look at a 12-step program, right? Which means you have to admit that there's a problem.
Right.
And step number two, in my opinion, is once you've admitted that there's a problem, you have to have a desire to want to fix the problem.
Right.
And that's the larger issue, is that I work, and Fayola, if you get to Tallahassee, you'll find this as well,
mm-hmm.
with folks that will admonish you over being pro-choice, but then have no plan for the child once they leave
right.
out the womb.
Right.
Meaning that they won't fund DCF.
Right.
They
right.
won't fund foster care programs. They won't fund education programs. They won't do anything else. But, for those 9 months of gestation, that's a life, and we need to protect it, and we need to do whatever we can. And it's like, well, what are you doing once it's over?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when that child steps foot in the world and doesn't have the same benefits that your son or daughter has, are you choosing to collectively ignore that? And the reality is that for most of politics, for most of the people in positions of power,
yes,
they're not looking for a solution to the problem as long as it's someone else's problem.
Yeah,
the heroin right. issue you talked about before, it only became a national issue when Vermont and Maine started
right.
having these rampant, New Hampshire started having these rampant problems
right.
related to people who can't get their oxycodone prescriptions filled anymore.
Right, and now they're going to heroin.
The street
right.
thing.
I'm going to say something about what Chris was saying, which is that, you know, yes, these are complex, multidimensional problems, but we have this patchwork quilt approach to social services. You get your social, you know, your food stamps one place, and you get your housing out of this, and you get your, you know, your this out of that, and it's not comprehensive.
Correct.
And it is not, and it starts, in my opinion, in many ways, too late. So
you got to be proactive.
Yeah. Well, so I'm saying I'm both.
We're talking to the community. Here's the thing: is the African American community concerned about these issues?
Yes.
Absolutely. Would they like a robust solution? But what I'm saying is that
We have to send people folks, who look like them and talk like them and know their issues.
No, what I'm saying is that the less melanated folks out there in the world what I'm saying is, here's the thing. When a kid dies in Chicago, it's black Chicagoans that get
thank
mad.
You.
Rahm Emanuel is not coming out to the streets to say, let me invest more in this program.
And that's because Rahm Emanuel never feels like he's going to lose his job if he doesn't.
If he doesn't.
We don't hold our elected officials accountable that way.
LV on line 3. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. Again.
Yes, I was so sorry. Have y'all ever heard about the Spider-Man birthday party massacre that the media had done?
No.
It was about 10 years ago where there was a 4-year-old boy, a 6-year-old boy, and a 6-year-old girl, and they were all shot, and it was my family members.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry to hear that.
The thing about it, it was a birthday party, and the boy was called Carla and Shaquan Quealy, and they both died.
Wow.
We had to bury both of them. Mm. And it's the thing about also to your panel about even the ex-felons to vote. So mm-hmm. we can put and hold accountable people that get in office.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm sitting here right now in my Let My People Vote church.
In 10 years, and the main shooters have not brought the case. So it's not that we can say we can forgive and go on and let's heal our community. They haven't brought to charge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I just want to go back to what I was saying, and we're in a crisis, so this is not like a shooting every mm-hmm. once in a while.
Right. It's every day.
We're in a crisis, and I'm going to stand by a very basic precept. You know, we have fathers out here that have not taken care of their sons, and their sons are going
and daughters.
And
yes,
so,
don't forget the girls.
Definitely
their daughters.
And the point I'm trying to make is that just the other day I had a conversation with a pastor, Pastor Richardson, who has a son who's a sophomore quarterback at Booker T. Washington, who just won a national game against St. Thomas Aquinas, mm-hmm. sophomore quarterback. And we were having a conversation at a friend's house, and we were talking about these very issues. And we think that this sophomore quarterback, who's a star athlete, that all of a sudden one day he became this star athlete. This father has been training this son since he was a little kid to be on that stage and perform at a very high level. So even as a sophomore, he's performing like a senior and marching footballs down the field and beating the number one team in the country.
Right.
When that child at 17, that's the average age of the shooter who's killing these kids, that child has been trained for that.
For that, yes.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying.
And
so, but it starts with the family.
Family,
your
yes.
family has failed him. Just like that, just like Pastor Richardson has prepared his son to be that star athlete.
Well, and
there's a community that has prepared that child.
Yeah,
I talked about that in that Facebook post I did. I was crying on Facebook for 2 days.
Straight from the barbershop.
That's his tag. Straight from the barbershop. about how, you know, with I am in this place in my life because I had a family who believed in me.
Right.
And believed that I could be something great.
Yeah, but not just family, but you had role models, teachers, and
I did, there was oh my God, are we done?
Yeah, but
Jesus. But okay, final thoughts. We're done.
My final thought on Chris is to say, hey, we need to own that if you were raised in a situation where you did not have a father, you had those very same struggles, you weren't poured into, and you're having a baby, we can't assume that a person can parent their child out of their own circumstances. And we need to own that. There's this sort of hands-off telling people how to parent their kids kind of attitude that says, hey, that's kind of the private domain of the parent. They have a constitutional right to kind of raise their kid how they see fit. But what we're not admitting is that if you are in these circumstances and your mama was in these circumstances, the chances that you are going to have in you the wisdom, the knowledge, the capability, the stability, and the resources to parent your kid out of that is very low.
Yeah.
Very low.
Fayola?
I just want to say thank you for having me on the show. And I want to say a special message to all the constituents in House District 108. This is a very important election. And I say that for a number of reasons of the issues that are plaguing our district. My name is Fayola DeLeek, and I'm a candidate running for State House District 108. It's Golden Glades, Gladeview, West Little River, Westview, Pinewood, North Miami, Miami Shores, El Portal, Biscayne Park, Liberty City, Liberty Square, Aqua Lakes, and Little Haiti. If you truly want change and you want leadership that's a community partnership focus and representing everyone, this is the most diverse district in the county and probably in the state. You want someone who will be able to relate to all people. I am that person. I ask you to punch number 53 when you go vote August 30th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at your precinct. Once again, my name is Fayola DeLeek.
All right,
punch
girl.
Number 53.
She is.
Yeah, vote for Pam.
Vote for Pam for Senate.
Vote for Pam for Senate.
Dwight Bullard. Senator Bullard.
Hey, I'm on the ballot too. Look,
we'll
love everybody down in the Kendall, Westchester, Richmond Heights, Perrine area to remember that I've been there for you and I will be there for you regardless. And so I look forward to your support. Number 46 on the ballot. See you Tuesday.
Okay, and Chris Norwood.
Straight from the barbershop. I'm not running for any office, but let me tell you this. I don't hang out with guys that don't take care of their kids, and that's the solution to this problem we have in our community.
Okay, that is an upcoming show. And I am Jill Tracy. I thank you. I thank Jessica Monkins and the Hip Rockstar crew. I thank Mark Young, who holds me down every Sunday. Thank you, Mark Young. And I thank you for listening. We'll be back next Sunday. Love you, mean it. I am Jill Tracy. This is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
That's my baby. Don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love them all. Let me give you what I got, so... I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes.
It's Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live.
Always local.
Always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers, are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.
When it comes to flavors, it takes rhythm to create the perfect harmony. Only Tropical Rhythms brings you bursts of bold Caribbean flavor with amazing combinations like pineapple coconut, mango carrot, pineapple guava, sorrel ginger, and so many more. Separately, magnificent. Together, irresistible flavors only the Caribbean can produce. Grace Tropical Rhythms. So different, so good together. Get yours today.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-256-3483 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-256-3483 to take your call right now. Call 877-256-3483. That's 877-256-3483. Again, 877-256-3483.
Yo, what's good? This is the fella with the low top fade. This is Play from Kid and Play, and you're listening to WHQT, Carl Gables, Miami's Hot 105.
A Cox Media Group station.
Own a business but baffled by digital marketing? CMG Local Solutions can help you take out all the guesswork out of digital marketing. Reach the right customer with a simple online marketing solution that is right for you. Learn more at cmglocalsolutions.com.
When your customers call, the last thing you want them to hear is this.
Please stay on the line. Your call is important to us.
Or this.
I'm out of the office right now, but leave a message and I'll call you back soon.
You definitely don't want them to hear this. What you do want them to hear is you, which is hard because running a small business, you're rarely ever in one place. Introducing OneTalk from Verizon. Now your desk phone and smartphone can work together on one number and ring at the same time, so you won't miss a call. calls can easily be passed between your phones, so your conversations go where you go. And when you're not available, OneTalk helps find the right person who is. So wherever work takes you, you can put your customers first. And they don't have to listen to any more of this. Learn more at OneTalk.com and see why more small businesses choose Verizon. Because in business, better matters. OneTalk capable desk phone must be purchased from Verizon to support some of these features. Results based on third-party study.
Today, August 29th, marks what would have been Michael Jackson's 58th birthday. Hot 105,
today's R&B and old school,
celebrates his life and his music legacy in 50-minute music sets of the best of Michael.
Inside. I always wanted a girl just like you. Such a P.Y.T. Pretty young thing.
Where did you come from, baby?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.